Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, please sit back because you are now about to go behind the blue curtain.
I'm your host, Stan Mason, and once again, this is our show. This is not my show. We talk about the hard topics. We talk about the topics that everybody wants to talk about. If y'all hear me yelling at people, that's my Facebook crew. At the same time, we're doing a live, so they're going to be throwing questions at the same time. If you want to call in, the number is 646-716-4621. Once you get there, press 1, and that'll put you in the queue. That way I know that you have something to say. Once again, up front, you know, I don't speak for my police department. I don't speak for my city, the office, civilian employees, or citizens. You know, everything I say here is based upon my personal experience and my professional experience. It's my own opinion. I like to have this show and run this show to where all of us have a voice. You know, like I say every week, I don't care if you're a preacher, politician, police, administrator, doctor, lawyer, or Indian chief. When you call up here, everybody's equally the same. What's going on, Rosa? Everybody that calls up here, you know, we're all equal. I don't care if you're a crack addict in the back alley with an Obama phone and a Wi-Fi connection. It's real here. Everybody's voice is relevant. This is the one place that when you call, you're not limited to a 10-second sound bite. When you call here, you're in the barbershop. You're in for the whole show or until you hang up. You can comment. You can follow up comments and responses that you get from either me or other callers because here, I want everybody to have that dialogue. This is not an anti-white, anti-black, anti-police show. This is an adult show. This is not your grandfather's radio show. This is the type of place where when you come, we're going to have hard talk on hard issues and hard dialogue. Occasionally, you're going to hear some profanity come out. But, you know, as long as it's not the N-word, the B-word, or the C-word, if y'all don't know, ask somebody. Please, let's refrain from using those. But people here will express their opinions based upon situations oftentimes they've gone through that are very traumatic. So I want to accord people that ability to be able to come in and say what they want. You know, this is not about a race thing here. You know, this is where we all come in and we talk about the issues and we can be against each other. We cannot agree. But let's acknowledge the fact that we're all seeing that there's a problem and all willing to come here and dialogue because that's what's real. I got my ace in the bullpen, Mr. Tyrone K. Dunmore, is standing by. I also got Robert Drake. That's my relief pitcher. He comes in before the eighth, but they're all standing by. We're going to hit this topic. We're going to have a short show today because I got to be in Austin, but we're going to talk about something that traffic tickets, citizen contacts, and quotas. And now, before officers listen and go, oh, he's against writing tickets, this and that. No, I'm not against. We have to write tickets. You know, some people only learn by digging in their pocket. That's just a fact. You got to get off in that wallet before some of these folks go get insurance instead of hitting your car or my car and then getting out and saying, I don't have no insurance. And then that make you want to say, well, if you ain't got life car insurance, I know you ain't got life insurance, and I know your Obamacare probably done ran out. But, you know, there is a need. We have to write traffic tickets. So this is not a we're going to get away from writing traffic tickets show. We got to write tickets. I don't have a problem with officers to write tickets, and some officers are really, you know, traffic is their thing. You know, other officers might be burglary patrol is their thing. So some officers, it's not that they're more aggressive in writing tickets. That's just their thing. That's what they like to do in their spare time, and I'm cool with that. But my problem with traffic enforcement is what happens when cities get into giving quotas. Now, everybody's heard about quotas. Yes, they're absolutely 100% real. Not where I work at. I can tell you honestly, we don't do We don't do a quota system. We don't have a standard where you have to write X amount of tickets or X amount of stops. We don't have that, but a lot of cities do have that. Now, you know, with that being done, what happens when you go, what's up, Mark? When you go to a citizen and you say, you know, well, we need you to write, or you go to an officer and you say, we need you to write, you got to write 5 tickets a shift. 5 tickets a shift. So that officer has to go out, handle calls, do everything that he or she has got to do. And at the same time, what's up, Marshall? At the same time, that officer has to squeeze in these 5 tickets. Okay, why is he under that type of a system? They say, well, it's to make sure you're maximizing your time. It's to make sure it's an evaluation tool. It's where we can rate you and see that you're being productive. And what's up now? So, you know, I mean, that's one thing. But my problem with that, when you take tickets and move that into a standard to judge my performance or an officer's performance, then what you're actually doing is you're setting up the citizens to become victims. Because what happens if you're working a night shift, it's 30 degrees, there isn't anybody out, there's very little traffic on the road, it's a Tuesday night, and say it's lightly snowing. That officer's under the gun. He or she has got to make, man, I got to make my numbers. I got to make my numbers. I got to make my numbers. Now, here comes Jane Doe down the street with a taillight out or a headlight out. First officer stops her. I don't have a problem with that. Writes Jane a ticket. I don't have a problem with that. But the problem is Jane goes 3/4 of a mile down the road and route to her 5-mile trip to go home. The next officer has got to make his number, stops Jane, and writes Jane a ticket for the same thing. By the time Jane gets home, her whole car payment is going to be spent on a bunch of fines for officers under the gun trying to make their numbers. And the same thing goes with some of these stops. We stop people and we say, well, you know, how you doing? You know, you didn't do anything wrong. I'm just stopping you to talk to you. The officer's trying to make his quota, his mark. And they call them performance standards, evaluation marks, benchmarks. They got all these different cliche names for them. But I'm going to tell you something. It's quotas. That's all it is. Now, if that officer doesn't make those quotas, then he gets a poor evaluation. And depending on whether your department is civil service or not, that's going to affect that officer because when he goes to put in for, say, another unit or test for detective or another position, and they go, well, you know, your last 3 evaluations were low because you didn't write enough tickets here, you didn't have enough personnel stops here. See, that is when you're using the public as a benchmark, as a measuring tool. The purpose of policing, and Sir Robert Peel said it, the purpose of effective policing, we have got to stop judging effective policing by how many arrests, how many tickets. To me, that is a failure. That tells you something's not working with your system. When you're constantly making a barrage of arrests, yes, it's progress, but when you have years of constant arrests, you got years of constant tickets, at some point that should tell you our approach isn't working. We got to try something else. Your ultimate goal is to reduce crime. Your ultimate goal would be to make those bad intersections safer. That may not always be putting an officer there to write tickets. Maybe you need to change the traffic light pattern. Maybe you need to give them a little more time on the green arrow. Maybe you need to put cameras up there. There's a lot of other things you can do, you know, that will help that officer out. Most officers go out. When I go out, I know my areas. I know which areas I tend to have a lot of traffic accidents in. I don't want to be sitting an hour and a half working an accident. So a lot of times when you get that spare time in between looking for car burglars and all this other stuff and working your calls, go over there and just park your car. People see you, they're going to slow down. They're going to hit the brakes, and they're going to slow down. But when we go out, and if you're under a gun to perform, I've got to write this many tickets. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. That citizen now that you're there to serve, and if you got to write a ticket, you write a ticket, but that citizen now becomes victim. It's got nothing to do with the violation because you have discretion. You can write a ticket, you can give a written warning, or you can give a verbal warning. But now because you're 3 tickets short of meeting your goal and you got an hour and a half left in the shift, that guy that's going to work gets hammered with a ticket. Oh, wait a minute. He got another traffic warrant out. He got a $50 dog ticket out for a loose dog. Well, man, I get to get an arrest stat too, so let me go on and take him to jail for that too. Now, I understand. I'm not saying the officer's wrong for doing it. I'm saying let's expand out for a minute and look at the reasoning behind that decision. Now, you get this guy that's going to work Lowe's, Home Depot, some job where he's not making a fortune, he or she isn't. They're raising a family. You hand him up on his way to work. You take a $50 dog barking warrant, and you put this guy in jail. He's now missed work. He's now got to go home and tell his wife, oh, I'm fired. Why? Because I couldn't call in to work. Why couldn't he call in to work? Because he was in jail. What was he in jail for? A $50 barking dog ticket. So now this guy goes home, and, you know, let's say all this happened on the day shift. Now I come to work tonight. I got to go to the house because him and his wife were fighting. If it got physical, now I got to turn around and take him back to jail. Now his life has just spiraled out of control over a $50 dog ticket, barking dog ticket. There's got to be some measurement in here where officers are given the freedom and flexibility to utilize, you know, some common sense, some discretion. And some departments are really good at letting their officers do that. Other departments aren't. They'll tell you we have zero tolerance. And zero tolerance is just you commit the violation, you get the ticket, period, point blank. And they got the videos running. So the officer can't walk up to the car and go, well, I'm just going to give you a warning because somebody's going to look at this video and say, well, why didn't you write that ticket? So now the officer who from a citizen standpoint, that officer is the bad guy. And the officer is feeling bad enough, he's going, man, you know, I just broke this guy a $180, $200 no insurance ticket. I know he can't pay it. And then, you know, I had to write him for the taillight because that's the reason I stopped him in the first place. And, you know, the citizen's mad at the officer, but let's look at the policy. You know, a lot of you ask yourselves, go down and ask your department, do we have a quota system here? If they tell you no, ask them, are your officers have performance evaluations? Yes. Can I get a copy of the evaluation sheet? That shouldn't be a hidden thing. You don't want one that's filled in. You're not asking for one with somebody's name in it. You're saying, can I see the standards by which this officer out on the street is being evaluated? I would think you'd have a right to that. I mean, you're paying for me. You should at least know what this department considered productive standards. And then when you get that, look down through there and look for those keywords, you know, self-initiated traffic enforcement, you know, quota. If these things are on there and there's a stat to where you have to put in a number, then you can best believe that officer, he or she, is being gauged and measured by that number. If they tell you we don't have a quota, just say, well, why are you worried about how many tickets this officer wrote? What's the purpose for that? The court's going to let me know if I got to go to court. Are you using that as a tool to measure me? So if I say, well, no, I wrote 3 tickets, you know, last week, but there were no burglaries in my area. I spent this much time at this apartment complex. I spent this much time at this bar where we're having fights. I spent this much. So the officers are under the gun, too. But in these quotas, you know, it goes further. We get into the stops. You know, when we're stopping people, if they say you have to have, we want you to have 15 personal contacts a week. And that's just a number I'm throwing out. And what personal contacts are is when I get out the car, you're not doing anything, but I get out and get your name and all that for the purpose of running your name to see if you're wanted. If you're wanted, I'm taking you. You know, if you're not, excuse me, if you're not, we're just going to sit in dialogue. But the problem is with that is, once again, if you put that number out there, you got Joe Citizen walking down the street, and that person may be stopped 2 or 3 times in less than an hour by different officers trying to reach those stats. That, to me, is not policing. It's not. And if I get, you know, administrators to say, well, I think it's an effective tool, it makes proactiveness, and I say, okay, Chief, how many citizen contacts do you have outside of Shipley's, Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts, some restaurant, Hobnob? How many personal stops do you have, Chief? How many tickets have you written, Chief? How many warnings have you put out, Assistant Chief? So if we're going to put that measuring stick out there to measure officer performance, why don't you have a block that says, you know, last month you had 10 car burglaries in your area. This month you only had 3. You're doing something right. Give them a good tick mark. You know, you had this many residential house burglaries. This month you only had 2. Give them a positive tick mark. What does that make that officer do? Get out the car now and interact with the public. Get out the car and feel like me being sitting here at the playground, you know, shooting some hoop for a minute with some kids, nobody's going to get shot while I'm out there. Nobody's selling drugs while I'm out there. Can you measure that as a statistic on the sheet? No. But can you measure that as peace and quiet that those neighbors are appreciative of? Yes. Policing has got to move into the point where we understand the community is not interested in tick marks and statistics. The community is interested in peace and quiet, harmony, the absence of crime, the absence of potential victimization. You know, people want to be able to go to sleep without the loud music. They want to be able to sit on their porch and not look at prostitutes and drug dealers. They want to be able to go to the store without worrying about being shot, being in the middle of a holdup when they walk in. This is done. This is achieved by officers getting your ass out of the car. Stop being officer head and shoulders. That's all people see. They see your head and your shoulders riding down the street. When you do get out, are you one of those officers that gets out only to write a ticket? Are you one of those officers that gets out only to run somebody's name? Are you one of those officers that gets out only because you have to? And then are you one of those officers that if you get out, nobody wants to talk to you because they can't associate you approaching them with anything remotely, even possibly from a hospitable standpoint, a cordial standpoint, a what's up, homie, how you doing standpoint. All they know from you is when you get out, somebody gets a ticket, somebody goes to jail, somebody gets an inconvenience, period. That's real talk. Officers, you might get your feelings hurt. I'm just saying, let everybody examine itself. You know, if you work in one of these areas and you want the citizens to respect you, then get out the car and talk to them. You know, I mean, I got a guy right now on my Facebook Live following, Mark Hughes. This guy, and we got an event coming up, and Mark knows about it. He's not going to talk about it, but we got an event coming up that Mark's going to speak at. And this guy's story, I've had him on the show. He can tell you straight up what I'm saying right now. He had one opinion of the police until he interacted with the Dallas Police Department on the day of the shooting, and I mean just as openly friendly as he could be, surrendered his weapons and walked the gauntlet. Had to walk the gauntlet. And he told his story on one of our shows, and I'll get him on again. You know, and you guys, this is the kind of stuff that takes good citizens and makes them anti-police. And there's two victims. The citizens are victims, and the street officer a lot of times is the victim, because a lot of times street officers don't like having to do some of this stuff that they're mandated to do, because we need more revenue for the city. We want to build a fountain, or we want to build a statue of whoever. So where are we going to generate this money from? Let's go down there and tax the public. You know, in the hood, they used to call it when the drug dealers would come in and the cops would steal from the drug dealers, they say you were taxing. And at some point, we have to have, you know, we have to have traffic enforcement. I'm not against that. I'm not against writing tickets. I think when you put quotas on people, then you open that door to profiling. You know, what's this demographic of people that I may be able to write the most citations on, the most money on? You know, this guy probably, if I stop him, he's probably going to have a warrant. And now I can write him a ticket and take him to jail. You're not serving the public there. You're not even serving the city. You're fulfilling almost like an extortion, an involuntary extortion of money from people for whatever violation. Now, if you legitimately stop people and they don't have insurance, they don't have a driver's license, hook them up, you know, write them a ticket. I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem when officers are given numbers to fulfill. You know, I don't want to be stopped every 5 feet going down the street. I don't want to be hassled. I'm trying to get to work. I'm trying to do what I need to do. If you stop me and there's a violation, write me the ticket, let me go down the road. Or preach to me, chew me out, and let me go with a warning. But don't do both. And I think a lot of times officers are under the gun to perform, and that stuff leads to civil lawsuits. When these things spiral out of control, you know, it opens the door for profiling to become a tactic or a tool that an officer not meaning to profile will develop because he or she ends up knowing I've got to meet these numbers so I don't have a choice. And the last thing, it leads up to some of these shootings that we're seeing. We say the officer is right here, the officer is right there, and they may be. But when we rewind all the way back to what initiated that stop, did it need to happen? And these are stresses that the officers feels, it's stresses that the community feels, and not even the community, your average motorist. I mean, there are cities and places I just don't want to drive through. If I can go around them, and some of them are right here local where I'm at, if I can possibly go around them, I will. because of the reputation that they have. Maybe it's not real. Maybe it's not deserved, but I've talked to too many people who have horror stories, and all of them aren't lying. You know, once again, the call in number is 646-716-4621. If you got any questions, comments, or concerns, feel free to call in. What's up, Tanya? What's up, Priscilla? You know, we're going to open up some mics here, and like I said, I've got plenty of people that are standing by. Tyrone, you're open. Robert, you're open. And I think that might be Travis. You're open. Does anybody want to weigh in and contribute in here? Okay, we'll keep going with it then. Let's talk about Sandra Bland's incident. Now, was Sandra Bland's incident, could it possibly have been a quota system? I don't know if the Texas DPS, which is our state troopers, have a quota system that where they have to write so many tickets. But look at what resulted from Sandra Bland. Look at what resulted from Philando Castile. Look at some of these traffic stops that happened. And we have to say the violation was minor. And then with a minor violation that leads into somebody being shot, or what's going on, Billy, that leads into something bad, what is the reason for the stop? Did that even have to happen? Did it even have to come off like that? These are the things that we have to ask on these questions. I would love to have a room of citizens and officers sit down without supervisors and just talk about what's going on and let the officers talk about how they feel. And the citizens, you'll find that there's a common understanding there. Even among the officers who make a lot of traffic stops, a lot of them that I know of don't write a lot of tickets. You know? At this point, I'm going to ask Robert Drakes, the host of Drakes Media. Robert, are you with us?
Yes, sir. How you doing this morning?
I'm good, brother. I'm good. Why don't you weigh in on this? Because I know you understand what I'm talking about down here.
Absolutely. First of all, of course, traffic tickets or traffic stops are necessary. However, I believe that quotas are unhealthy for, just to reiterate what you said, it's unhealthy for the officers, and it also can be unhealthy for the citizens. The reason I believe that it's unhealthy is a lot of people are not overachievers. So if you give them a quota of 5 tickets, where they write the 5 tickets and then throughout the rest of the shift not write any more tickets, which is, of course, not going to make the city safer. Will some people mess around for the 6 hours out of the shift and then at the last minute decide to write tickets? So it can be unhealthy. And then if you have a lot of other calls that day, a lot of more serious calls, you know, like you said, you may have to go do some domestic violence calls or go and take a mentally health person to the hospital. And during this whole period, if you're thinking, man, I got to get out here and I got to write 5 tickets today, you know, That's unhealthy. That keeps you from doing some other productive work. Now, of course, like you said, we're trying to make the city safe. Traffic accidents can be fatal. I just don't see the rationale behind, you know, I got to write somebody a ticket because one of their brake lights are out or the headlight is out. I mean, I'm penalized because my car is malfunctioning. That's a little... I don't know what the right word is. It's a little odd to me. If my inspection sticker is out, if I don't have insurance, of course, that's a little different. But the quota system is not healthy because it will cause, like you said, in some instances, racial profiling. Then the next thing would be if you have a quota system, does the results equal the population of the city? And if the results of writing all those tickets doesn't equal the population of the city, then, of course, why? Are people going in certain areas because they know they can get an arrest or they know they can write a ticket, or are they being fair? So that opens up another can of worms. And I'll let some of these other brothers jump in here.
You know, I mean, for me, and I'll tell you, for me, when I go out there, there's some things to me that I give warnings on. I'm not going to say it every single time, but there's things like, okay, your reverse lights are out. Well, I mean, I'll stop you for it and I'll let you know it. But most people don't have the ability to put their car in reverse, then get out and go back and look at whether the lights are working. And let's be honest, none of us have said to our wife or whoever, honey, I'm going to put the car, let's do a car check. I'm going to put the reverse lights on and you come out and tell me if they're working. We just don't. The turn signal's out. you know, sometimes people will know, sometimes people won't. And you can stop them, and you might go up there, and the car smells like weed. You got other things, and you go from there, and that's fine. But there's just some things, you know, your brake lights are out. Well, how many of us honestly on here can say when we get in our car, we check to see that our brake lights are working, whether it's catching a reflection off a wall or something? A lot of us don't. And I'm not going to tell you I do it all the time. You know, if mine went out, I could very well get stopped. You know, it's a violation. Yeah. Officer writes me the ticket. I just got the ticket. But is that a ticket? Do you really do damage by writing nonsensical tickets like that when you can use that time to have a contact with a citizen and say, you understand it's a violation, blah, blah, blah. You doing all right today? Yeah, well, you know, you can go by AutoZone or O'Reilly Auto Parts, whatever, man. Just get a bulb and, excuse me, if you don't know how to put it in, they'll come out and put it in for you. That citizen now will come away from that stop and say, man, this officer pulled me over. My brake lights were out. I didn't know. Not only did he give me a break, but he told me how to get it fixed, where to go, what to do. And it's not going to cost that much. See, these are the things that make people understand traffic stops. Because you write a ticket doesn't have to be a negative thing, you know. And a lot of times with the stops, you know, how you treat the person and talk to them. But it's just when we get into crucifying people to meet statistics or hammering folks in one demographic area, you know, like when they set up these DWI checkpoints in some states that still do that. And, you know, some people think it's unconstitutional. I just don't know how you just say we're going to set up a dislocation and stop everybody till we find somebody who's drunk. Because if I'm not drunk and I got a driver's license, you're stopping me really with no probable cause other than saying we're doing it because we can't. And so when you do that, you know, how do you just get over just stopping people? If I stopped your car tonight, Robert, and I said, reason I pulled you over is because you're on the road. I need to see your driver's license, your insurance. Well, what's the difference between that and some of these DWI checkpoints? Now, I'm not against DWI enforcement. Don't get me wrong. Some of the things, to me, if you got no insurance, you get the ticket from me. And in my city, thank God, they'll tow your car. They're not going to leave you out there to trash other people's cars with no insurance. No driver's license, you get the ticket. I don't care. Well, I'm on my way to work or whatever. Guess what? You should have took the bus. Because if you hit somebody, they're stuck with that burden. So there's some things, running stop signs and red lights. I'm going to write you for that. Passing a school bus. I don't care who you are. You getting that ticket, you're going to eat that one. But you got to have discretion in some of these things and measure, you know, some of these things. And then, like Angela said, have a reason for pulling people over, an articulable reason. You know, if you pull them over, well, you fail to dim your high beam. That's a good point, because I've almost been hit head on by a guy that was drunk riding with his high beams on. It almost hit me head on Valley Mills Drive. You know, that guy went to jail, of course, and got that ticket for them high beams. But if he'd have been straight, some people are old people and they don't know that their high beams are even on. So there's some things in it, you know, we kind of got to measure and look at and use some common sense, but don't crucify people. Don't crucify with the traffic stop.
But let me ask
we're
you.
Told go into yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Is every violation that a police will write you, is it in the handbook that you study for driving license?
No. There's a lot in the traffic code. There's a lot of things in there that is not in the handbook for driver's license, but there are things that, you know, people know. You know you stop at a stop sign. You know you stop at a red light. Use your turn signals, all this. But, if you change address, you've got a certain amount of time that you've got to go and change your address on your driver's license. You know, a lot of people say, well, that's stupid, that doesn't make any sense. It makes a lot of sense. If you're killed in an accident, how do we know who to find you, where to find you? You know,
okay.
If you do get a ticket and there's correspondence with the court, it's going to the old address where you might have been capable of paying for it, but now you get hemmed up and you're in jail and you said, well, nobody tried to find me. You know, we can't go out and hunt you down.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you the reason I asked the question, Dan. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you the reason I asked the question. I was in Hewitt, Texas one day. I think it's the corner of Spring Valley Road and I can't remember the Hewitt Drive, I believe it is. There is a station on that corner. So I was coming towards I-35 going southbound on, I think that's Hewitt Drive. And I was going to turn in and get some gas. So I turned in. All the pumps, they were out of gas. So I went across the parking lot and went out the other way. The officer stops me and says that I was trying to avoid the stoplight.
Yeah,
and I'm like, the station has no gas. I said, we can go right back over there and look. Every pump is taped up. They have no gas. I was not trying to avoid the stoplight. But I didn't even know that that was a violation.
Yeah, it is. And it's to stop people from cutting through parking lots to avoid. You know, we've all seen that light change and the person behind us or in front of us just cuts through the convenience store parking lot and stops and makes the right and keeps going. The problem with that is when people do that, you can hit somebody in that convenience store gas station parking lot you're not paying attention to. And when you pull out there, you could easily pull out from traffic you don't see. But is it something, given the circumstance, the time, you know, you got to weigh a lot of factors in when you decide to write a person a ticket or give them a break. You know, is it 3 in the morning and there's nobody else out there but you and them? It's just some things that are common sense. And that's something that the average citizen doesn't know. And I know that going up to the car. So it's not like, you know, I understand that you did something wrong, but at the same time, and it's just the human side of me, most citizens don't know that you can't do that. So I can't, well, I can, but would it be morally and ethically right for me to come up and just write you the ticket and educate you through a financial call when I can tell you about it and write you a warning ticket, and then you can go home and look it up and find out it's wrong and say, man, I did this, it was wrong, this guy told me, so now what are you going to do? You're going to tell your friends about it, so now they're educated on it. So you can educate people beyond just citing them all the time. That's what the purpose of warning is. That's why we have discretion. It's just a lot of people don't practice it, and some can't because they have a quota or an evaluation performance standard. You know, even with these personal contacts, stopping people on the street. When they say, I don't want to talk to you, and they're walking, you're not doing an investigation. You just see them, and they appear suspicious to you, but they may be somebody that's in the neighborhood, you know, and they don't want to talk to you. Why do you pursue it? Why do you press the issue?
Good question.
You know, and because what happens with it, it doesn't turn out good.
Yeah. It's an accident waiting to happen.
Several callers are on. If you want to get on, just press 1, and I'll open up your mic. I've got 1 in the 313 area code, of course. My ace in the bullpen, his mic is live, so, you know, we're going to keep going with this. Ruby on Facebook, Ruby says that it's not, if I'm not mistaken, isn't that in the driver's handbook? I know it is, and I'm sure that's how I know. Well, some of these things may be, but the problem is most folks, when they get their driver's license, they don't go back to that handbook for nothing. They don't look at these ordinances and things to change. And you know, the state of Texas is always cell phone usage right now. You know, I know in Waco, don't be riding down the street on your cell phone because you're going to get pulled over for it. And right now we're giving warnings, but I guarantee you when that warning period ends and we start hammering folks with these tickets, the first thing going to come out of their mouth is, I didn't know. You know what? You better stay woke. They do the public service announcements. It's been in the paper. You know, that's just the way the law is. And when you get it, you're going to get got. I've worked tons of accidents with folks on their cell phone and trying to tell me they weren't on their cell phone. And the other person would tell me, the light changed. I was going through. She was looking at her cell phone. He was looking at her cell phone. And just came down there and rear-ended me. I got rear-ended once by a lady on a cell phone. You know, in my Corvette, it wasn't that fast. But when I unfolded and got out of that Corvette, I was on my way to work. And I know that poor girl thought, oh, good Lord have mercy, this has got to be a nightmare. Not only did I hit a Corvette, this brother unfolded out of there like a transformer in a police uniform. I'm done. But it wasn't no damage. So, you know, I just told her she needs to pay attention. But I saw her. I saw it happening, man. It was like the Matrix in slow motion. But her eyes, man, she looked like she had sauces. That was her worst nightmare when I unfolded and got out of that car. You know, Angela says, the concern I have is once I was pulled over by law enforcement because they stated I should have turned my blinker on 50 feet from the stop sign, which made me feel, you know, Angela, I mean, and that's the kind of stuff. That is that you have what's called letter of the law. And I mean, letter of the law is this is how that law is written and this is how I'm going to enforce it. Then you have spirit of the law. And spirit of the law says, what is the intended purpose of that law? And act upon that. An example, if you violated, everybody who violates that law, I'm writing a ticket to. Everybody. I don't care that your kids were crying. I don't care that your mother just died and you're on your way to the hospital. Everybody gets a ticket. And then you have spirit of the law where a guy walks up there and says, well, you know, you didn't turn your turn signal on within 75 feet of your turn. You know, and the person will go, they may say, well, I'm sorry, I thought it was 50 feet. That's logical. They're not telling me, you know, they didn't do it or they did and I didn't see it. They're giving me a logical explanation. If nobody had to squeal to a stop, nobody had to run up on the curb to stop from hitting me, can you just give the person a warning and let them go? But no, you can't do that if you're under that quota system. I got to meet my numbers. Sorry, lady. But, you know, y'all going to be crunching them Cheerios dry in the morning, so no milk money because I'm going to have to hit you with this one. See, that's the things that make us no longer public servants, where people feel that we can become public predators by adhering to policies and not having the ability to exercise some compassion, exercise some empathy. Because I'll tell you what, I've seen officers who write a lot of speeding tickets. That's their thing. But they'll be the first ones in the morning or the evening or whatever when they're getting off, burning off, leaving from the police department. Rolling through the same stop sign they'll write somebody a ticket for all night long. Speeding through the neighborhood for no reason other than to get to a barking dog or to go to lunch. This is not, now let's, we just being real. Officers are going to get mad, man. You talking about, I'm talking about it because the public sees it. Why this, and there are some times where we don't put our lights on and we'll drive over the speed limit. That may be we're trying to get to somewhere where there's a robbery or something's going on and we're close. We don't want that burglar to know, here come the police with the lights on. If there's no traffic, it's 2 or 3 in the morning, that's something that we'll do sometime. Sometimes you'll see us drive a half a block with no lights. People say, why is he doing that? If there's no traffic out there, I don't want that burglar, that husband or wife that may have the other spouse at a gunpoint, we don't want them knowing that we're there until we're there, safe, and set up. So there's conditions by which we do things, but not all the time. And then we turn around and hem up a citizen for it. Come on now. Let's just be real about it, you know. But like I said, the quota system in regards to tickets, traffic enforcement, personnel stops. You know, New York has stop and frisk. Now, that's just about as citizen contact as you get. And I bet you these guys have numbers up there. I don't know. I'll look it up and I'll find out what their criteria was. But I bet you every officer had a certain number of stops that they had to have. You know, the system has got to be fair. The system has got to be impartial. But is it designed to educate? Is that fine that you attach to that violation? Is that fine set to educate that citizen or crucify that citizen? Because for us, writing tickets becomes every day. You know, you just don't think about it sometimes. But to that person, it can just decimate them. That one ticket can cause their whole family to be divorced. That one ticket can push somebody over the edge. And, you know, sometimes you just got to write the ticket. But if you don't have to, you can take that opportunity to educate that person. It makes your department look better. It makes you look better. And it makes that citizen aware, because if I give you a break, you're more aware of what you did and say, man, I ain't going to do that again because I might get a ticket the next time. But if I crucify you for it, you're already mad, man. Look, I already got one ticket. I ain't worried about it. You know, if they stop me, they stop me. So, you know, it's about educating and participating. You know, got my ace in the bullpen, Brother Tyrone K. Dunmore. Ty, you want to chime in here? Boy, Facebook crew is on it. Ruby say you're preaching.
Oh man, I'm just listening to the. I'm just listening to your role, brother. You know.
Oh no, man. You know, I mean, it's just about being right.
I understand that. I just was corresponding with another brother who's probably on the show now. Our brother, his name is Cecil Jones. His Facebook page or his Facebook and his site is called Cecil Love Jones. He's doing some real positive things, and you know, I've been bragging about you, so I'm trying to just let him hear you. He's hearing you today.
Man,
he said he's online, and he's doing big things in real estate and home ownership and business, and so I'm just trying to, you know, let him hear you, because he hears, you know, he's heard me plenty of times. So, but I will chime and say something real quick, because I know you ain't gonna let me off the hook that easy. I don't want you to write me a ticket, man. Don't write me a ticket, man.
you better get that AC mirror cam.
I mean, just based on what you're saying, it's a sad state of affairs when you look at it from a perspective of, and I'm just hearing, you know, back and forth some of the things you're putting out, and it's like the public is under attack with these quotas, and we become like the I would say the cushion or the buffer between what's supposed to be fighting crime, but as you said, reducing crime, and to me that's like a catch-22. So, as you said, there's a lot of people who are financially under duress. They're stressed. They're working hard, you know, trying to make ends meet, working paycheck to paycheck. And maybe they'll have something wrong with their car. And you know, decriminalize them to the extent where, like you said, you can give them a break. You can give them a warning as opposed to writing a big fine, you know. That goes back to, you know, the heart of an officer. But when he's under that gun of writing tickets, I mean, shouldn't that be based more? They I know when they pull you over, they do a check on you and they get your license. And I know that, I'm not sure. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think even driving history is up there now, along with your criminal history. So if you're a person who has a civil history of not being criminal, and you just maybe caught a bad break because you did something stupid for a moment. And just like they do with the credit check, you know what I mean? If it's pretty good, then, you know, you're able to do more. But, you know, for the criminals out there that just straight out just disobey the law and they ain't going to get stuff registered. And when I mean stuff like not registered insurance, we've known of celebrities who've been driving vehicles and they had their car registered. You know what I mean? The people who got the money. So, you know, my sentiment as a civilian, if you want to call it that, even though I don't know how a police officer is not a civilian when he's a civil servant worker and he takes the oath to serve, it's like, be more of a, give them a break, and as opposed to hitting them over the head. But I know that there's a lot of municipalities that are financially strapped, and I know it's so fair, it's unfair that the public is now under the radar and we're zoned in on looking for bad. And when you look for bad in anything, anyone, you'll stand a good reason to find it. And to me, that's unreasonable, because
even
you know, with the economy,
fit.
Right. And because of the economy, and we know it's struggling, and don't go for that, what's happening on Wall Street and the Dow Jones and the so-called NASDAQ and all that. We're talking about the basic working American. Right now, we are under the gun, and in more ways than others. So I think it's pretty bad that doesn't help bridge the gap of relationship between the policing in its, as they would say, the citizens or the civilians. It almost becomes, once again, them against us. And to me, that is not effective policing. That's more of a disaffective posturing. You know, if we're going to add value to our society, then you don't do that by devaluing others. And one way you can devalue others, we know, is hit them in the pocket. And we all know that, you know, but between these fines and things that, you know, that could hurt you. And now you can't pay your car note now. You can't pay that car insurance. Now you're going to be short on your rent. You got to go to court now. You're going to miss out. So, yes, it is a trickling effect. And I just think, I know, let me rephrase that. I know it's not fair. And we got to bring some sense of fairness back to this. For those out there just violating and just being straight up vandals, and when I say, I'm not talking about vandals as far as vandalizing people's property. I'm talking about vandalizing the very system, because we do have a system. We need to respect it. And but if we're going to be habitual breakers of the law, yeah, slap them. And definitely when it comes to insurance and things of that nature, because they hit somebody, then the other person who's not going to have cover, you know, because that person doesn't have an insurance. So they need to be ticket. They need to be told if need be. You know, I'm not saying give breaks to people like that, but we know,
right?
And I know there's a lot of people out there who don't give the officer a hard time, who don't have a rap sheet when they look on their computer. This person has been pulled over and arrested for, and because of quotas, they hit them. And
you know,
again, that's not fair.
And you know, brother, let me add this. See, this is where the cities don't understand that what they're doing is counterproductive. If you got a little 500 person city that you have to write these tickets for your city to stay above water, then maybe you need to be incorporated by the larger city around you instead of victimizing people. Because what they're doing, most black people, and when I say most, I mean the majority of us, all know. I don't care whether you're in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, PA, up in Connecticut, Dallas, Texas, LA, I don't care. You automatically know those cities that you need to avoid. You know it right offhand. And you could walk in someplace, and if somebody doesn't recognize you from there, they'll go, man, look, don't go through this. Because some of these cities are so predatory in what they do that the word goes out and you automatically know to avoid. You know, it's almost, I said Syria, and Syria say, go here, go through this town. And I look at it, I go, well, I'm going around this one. When I get there, I'm going to be off course, because some of them prey on people. Now, when you prey on citizens or people passing through and that word gets out, now people don't stop at the rest stops in your city. People don't stop at the little mom-and-pop convenience store. People aren't stopping at the coffee shop. Then you're wondering why you don't have any revenue, why you can't get anything done. Now, you can't write enough tickets to pull yourself out of that hole when you don't have tourism. If you're a little small town, you're not offering a whole lot. It's not like the economy of the United States is dependent upon your city. So you're really cutting your throat, and it's counterproductive to good policing. I don't have a problem with tickets and people writing them. I don't have a problem with being out there Memorial Day. I don't have a problem with a heavy police presence on the highways at certain times, because I don't like working wrecks. And a lot of officers will tell you, some of them who write a lot of tickets is because they work bad wrecks. We've had to sit and work these fatalities and these wrecks where you got kids thrown out the car and people beheaded and burned up in cars and whole families destroyed because of somebody on a cell phone, somebody changing a lane while unsafe. What might look minor out on Interstate 35 to one person, to us, is the potential of what can happen in a major way. So that's just one side of it sometimes. If their officers will write the ticket because they've worked incidents where this kind of conduct happened and it resulted, and maybe someone being killed or somebody being, you know, disabled or whatever, or just a lot of financial heartache because of an accident. So we got to have traffic enforcement. We absolutely have to have it. But we also don't need to be predators about it and prey on citizens just to the point that they're considering bankruptcy. They're divorced and going crazy because they lost their job. Their wife, girlfriend left them. They can't feed their kids because they got $1,500 worth of traffic tickets. Come on, we got to find another way to do that. Folks can say, well, just lock them up. Well, jails aren't free. When you're locking this guy up for a $1,500 traffic ticket, and you say, well, we're going to give him 90 days in jail, 60 days in jail, how much is it costing taxpayers to keep this person in jail for 60 days or 90 days off of a traffic ticket? You make them go out there and scrub garbage trucks at minimum wage till they work it off. They can walk through and pick up trash in the parks. You know, if they say, well, I work 8 to 5, well, then guess what? You're going to be out there 12 at night till 5 in the morning. Let's get some use out of these people other than incarcerating them and paying for them to be in jail and then saying, well, we're going to let you out, sign this promise to pay us the money. And then they come out and they can't pay you that money because they're already behind the hole looking for a new job. So we lock them up again, and it's just a big circle. You know, Ruby says, good example of what you're talking about, brother. On my way to usher a funeral, it was Pastor O's mom. It was Saturday. Had to take mom to dialysis. Was running a little late. Was kind of speeding down Bosque. When they say kind of speeding, Ruby, you had your foot to it. Trying to get there. Got stopped, and the officer asked for license and registration and told me. That's where she got off at. I'm going to catch up with you when you finish typing, but you know, like I say, you guys that are listening on net, I got the Facebook Live going at the same time because I want to afford people that some people don't want to call in and put their voice out, but they're willing to dialogue with me on there. And I want to reach out and give everybody as much opportunity as I can to express how they feel. Gary King is on here. Good brother. We were stationed together a long time ago. Good to see you, brother. But I'm down to like that last 9 minutes of the show because, like I said, I got to be in Austin today. So, and I want to take my time. Because Texas is up here, I guess, playing Baylor. And, you know, Baylor can just forget it. Baylor can just forget it for this year. I know some of you are Baylor fans, but they just fold it up and forget it. But I'm going to ask Tyrone K. Dunmore, Robert Drakes, brothers, do y'all have any parting comments and words of wisdom? And the Facebook crew for joining me. Going once.
Yeah, go ahead, Robert. I just say it's
on,
dangerous
Robert.
For any. I just say, in my opinion, it's dangerous for any police department to turn its citizens into a cash cow or just turn them into revenue. It's just exploitation when you do it like that. So, I mean, of course, if people are violating the law and changing lanes too soon or running stoplights or stop signs, of course they need a ticket, no driving license, but. To have a quota where every officer has to go out there and just write a bunch of tickets just because, it's like Tyrone said, if you look for bad things, that's probably what you'll find. And everybody out there is not doing that. So don't turn the citizens into a cash cow, so to speak.
Amen, brother. TKD?
Well, in the words of Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, I second that emotion, man. and it is energy in motion, and I know that when it comes to arrest, it means to stand. One thing we don't want to do is stop people's ability to at least maintain themselves, stop their ability to work, stop their ability to continue to be productive citizens because of some, like you said, something the taillight is out, and it could be something as simple as that, or you towed a car. And I've had situations in my life where, you know, I unfortunately did drive years ago, but nevertheless, I did it. And I took a car because my other car went down and I didn't have insurance on it. And I did have to get to work. And I did go. And I got stopped by Highway Patrol. But I was fortunate that police officer just told me, get it taken care of right away, which, of course, I did. Because if you see that car again, not only that car was going, I was going. So, I mean, so, you know, and I didn't do it with, if you call it, with criminal intent. I didn't do it because I'm taking this car because it's not registered or it's not insured at this present time to go out and do a heist, a bank heist. No, I was just going to work because I had to get to work. And I know it's easier said in certain areas, would just take the bus where I was living at the time and where I had to work. It was no bus. You had to drive. You couldn't even take the train. I had to drive. So, you know, I took the risk. I took the chance. And, of course, I got pulled over. I got stopped. There's plates. There's towns. There's cities. And I would say towns more so, especially in this area in Connecticut, where that's all a lot of police officers do is run plates because they only have crime in their areas like that. So if they see anything that's not a 2016 and over, something that's got a little aged vehicle, that would give them a reason to pull you over. You, I mean, I'm in Connecticut. Anybody can tell you Fairfield County, I believe, is the second richest county in the United States. So there's a lot of, you're surrounded around a lot of wealth, and there are a lot of newer cars. So if you drive even an older model car, that's subject to getting pulled over going through certain towns. And as you said, you don't like driving through, you ain't going through certain towns. Up here is no different. And it's not that you're illegal. You can register, insured, could have paid all your taxes, but you don't even want the hassle of getting pulled over going through one of them towns because you don't fit the status quo of the type of car that should be driving in their town. You don't have a Jaguar. You don't have a Mercedes. You don't have a BMW. You don't have an Audi. You know, you don't have a Navigator, Escalade. You don't have any upscale. You just have a basic car. And so I know that is profiling done on that. You know, forget having a tail light out. All my vehicles totally operational. Everything works. So I know if I go to certain areas, based on the age of my vehicle, I stand a high probability of getting stopped. And who wants to get hassled? Again, not because I'm doing anything wrong. I don't have any warrants. I'm not running from the law. I'm just trying to get somewhere. But if I know if I go to certain towns, there is a high probability of being pulled over. And chances are, if they can find any little thing, you know, we have a little joke we use in certain municipalities up there. You know, they'll say, man, if you got a crack on your rear taillight, they'll give you a ticket for a defective lens on your rear. You know what I mean? You just don't want to be bothered with that because it's not all that serious. You know what I mean?
That's why I go around a lot of places.
And then let me just finish on this, Mark. But then if I do, as we're called today, the erotic way of calling, as they call us, African Americans, another great phrase taken from my brother Smokey Robinson, the erotic new word that they call black people, as they call it. If I was driving a BMW or a Jaguar or a Mercedes, there's a high probability I'm going to get pulled over too. So I'm going to catch 22 either way. It's just not even going to go through there. Because, you know, it's like, you know, and this is no knock to your last name. You know that, brother. But it's a Mason-Dixie line. There's a Mason-Dixie line in many areas throughout this country. We have those Mason-Dixie lines. And when you cross over, you could rest assured, you could pretty much bet on it, that you will get pulled over. And if they can give you a ticket, simply because you're driving an older vehicle, simply because you're driving even a more expensive vehicle, they might say, well, you didn't make a full stop and then you turned right. You got to come to a complete stop. So that, I mean, we know that officers who have something embedded in their hearts that is still twisted based on what they have been taught about a certain ethnic or certain ethnic groups, they're more apt to not give those people the break. You know, whether they consider us animals, they want to consider us minorities, and in some municipalities, yes, you are a nigger. And I pulled me over one today. And so we know that that's in the hearts of some people. Not all, most of them know. But in places, we got to keep it real.
Exists.
It's real. It exists. And that's in their upbringing. Remember, they are that way by default. They don't know any better.
Right.
So obviously, they won't do any better. And I don't think we can expect them to do any better. We just got to be better on watching where we navigate, where we go, and how we interact or respond when faced with
that. Amen, brother.
That's all.
Amen. Once again, everybody, thanks for tuning in and joining in. Tyrone K. Dunmore, host of Inspired News, Robert Drake, Drake's Media Network, all the people on Facebook, Ruby and Jared, and a lot of people. I appreciate everybody tuning in, contributing with your questions, follow-up. You know, you can get all the shows at stanmason.com. You can download them later on and listen to them. And I'm going to end with this. You know, guys, there's a lot of good police officers out there. Some of them don't know how to interact with the public because it's been conditioned out of them. Some of them want to, but they're worried about peer pressure or worried about department pressure. You know, what I'm going to encourage everybody to do is, you know, just start with your neighborhood and ask. Call down the police department and meet the officers who work the day shift, the afternoon shift, and the night shift in your area where you live. Meet the sergeants that are over the officers who work that area. Meet the commander that's over the officers. Make an appointment. Go down and see your chief. You're going to learn. There's some officers you're going to like, and there's some you're absolutely not going to like. I'm no different. I do this job. There's some that I like, and there's some that I don't, and I'm sure there's some that don't like me. That, you know, but that's part of life. But reach out. Get to know some of them. There's a lot of good ones out there, and maybe you might be that breakthrough that takes that officer that sits kind of in the, I want to help the public, but I don't know, are they going to be open to me? You may be that breakthrough that takes that officer who's just going through the motions of the job and becomes a good neighborhood officer, that becomes a good advocate for the community and for the police department. So, you know, it's up to all of us. You guys can teach the officers a lot, but, you know, some of us, we got to reach out. It's not a matter of whether it's not my fault things are this bad and I shouldn't have to. It's not a matter of what we shouldn't have to do. It's a matter of what we have to do. You know, we've got to have dialogue. Some officers are not going to want to hear it, but some of them are. That second visit, they'll be a little more cordial. That third visit. So there's a lot of good ones out there. You know, so if nothing else, at least you'll learn who the good ones are and who the bad ones are. So with that, I appreciate everybody for joining in and listening and putting up with me today. And I'm going to get ready to get out of here so I can get on the road to Austin. But in the immortal words of Denzel Washington,
it's not what you know, it's what you can prove.
Ladies and gentlemen, please sit back because you are now about to go behind the blue curtain.